is a culture war going on in this country. We can no longer remain silent on the issues that affect us all. Decisions we make now will determine our future. But how do we engage with the culture in a way that honors Jesus? How do we rise above the noise to know what is right and what is true? It's time to bring God back into the conversation. It's time to reconnect. Here's Carmen.
Welcome, friends. I'm Carmen LaBurge, and this is The Reconnect, where we're putting God in His place, back where He belongs, right in the middle of every conversation. So, today is a big day. Wow, what a day. Inauguration Day. I would love for you to let me know what you're thinking today. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your take. I want to what you feel like you heard, what you experienced as you were watching the inauguration, or maybe you were listening on the radio, or maybe you're there live. Love to hear from you. What are you feeling? What's your response to everything? What's your takeaway? My number is 877-655-6755. Again, the number here in the studio, you can text or call anytime this hour, 877-655-6755. We really do want to hear from you. We want to equip you to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ in the conversations of the day. We want to help you not only have the mind of Christ in terms of what's going on in the world, but then be able to articulate God's perspective on what's happening, not only in the world at large, but in the world right where you are. And so we actually have a survey right now on our website at reconnectwithcarmen.com. Some of you have already gone there. We appreciate that. One of the questions that we asked on the survey is, what do you see as the greatest challenges for Christians seeking to bring God's perspective into conversations today? We got some great feedback on that. I'll share a little bit of that feedback with you later. All right, so it's Inauguration Day. Again, love to hear from you. I've already got some folks who have responded on our text line. And again, you can either text or call 877-655-6755. All right, from a listener, we have this. Trump's speech was full of hope and light for our nation. In all caps, this person writes, "Under God, I love it." And then they add, under the liberal media, obviously the liberal media has banded together to try to throw a damper on the excitement by calling it dark. All I can say is, really? Again, all caps with three question marks. Is that all you can come up with? Pretty lame. The next one is, I was literally clapping and screaming like I was there. I had to pull over. I'm sobbing. I'm clapping. I'm screaming. I just love, think big. Think big, dream bigger, protected by God. I mean, really, he never said I. Obama said I 51 times in his closing speech. Just very interesting. I think we're in for something really great. And then there's lots of emojis, which is certainly a fun way to communicate, even though I don't always know what they mean. So thank you to you all for that input. Again, keep it coming. What's your reaction to the speech? What are you feeling? What is your takeaway? The number here is 877-655-6755, and you can text or call anytime this hour. Okay, I think it's important to note that even with all of the pomp and circumstance, which, you know, I have to confess to you, I'm like live commentating as we're watching. So some of the staff's gathered together and we're watching things unfold this morning, and we watched as the then president-elect and his wife arrived at the White House for a time with then President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. And so they get out of the car and they're walking up the steps, and I'm kind of like, so I'm stunned by Melania's outfit. I thought it was beautiful. And then I'm fixated on the box. Like, every woman knows that's a box from Tiffany's. And so I'm like, what's in the box? What's in the box? Who's going to talk about what's in the box? And nobody talks about what's in the box. So this is my big question. What was in the box? Like, what was the gift that the Trumps gave to the Obamas? Well, really, that Melania gave to Michelle. That's, don't you want to know? I want to know. And how wise to give a gift that comes in a box that everybody knows where it came from because the box is so distinctive. So there you go. That was my commentary on that. And then a little bit later, well, I do have a commentary on the part about tea. Why are we sitting down from tea? Like, I thought, like, the whole point of being American originally was that we're not British. So why are we having tea? And why are we having a tea at 9 in the morning or 9:30 in the morning? I mean, even, like, proper tea drinking is in the afternoon, is it not? I mean, like, now is about the right time for tea. Anyway, so I feel like they should have had coffee, but they didn't. They had tea, and there was a... That was curious to me. But then the other thing that if you had been watching the inauguration with me today, you would have heard my constant reference every time they opened or closed a car door. I'm like, look at the depth of that door. Like, look, it's like a vault door. It's like it's like as wide as the door of a vault. And so anyway, there you go. That's my I'm pretty stunned by that car, like the doors on those cars. Okay, so there you have it. I also, if you follow me on Twitter, at Carmen LaBurge, know that I believe that in that stunning white pantsuit today that Ivanka Trump was wearing, I believe Ivanka Trump has now taken over Hillary Clinton's pantsuit nation. So if you are a hashtag pantsuit nation person, or if you are in that pantsuit nation group on Facebook, you have been utterly taken over by Ivanka Trump today in that stunning asymmetrical white outfit. And you're saying to yourselves, is this like a fashion commentary today? Okay, so some days we just need to recognize beauty, right? Like authentic beauty. And there was some authentic beauty that should be recognized on display today as a part of the inauguration, part of the pageantry and the beauty of the people involved. It's important to note, beautiful music was played. Again, the beautiful part of being American was absolutely on display. There were a couple of times today that I thought to myself, when you would see those Marines, you know, they're so young, and you see them, the two that were standing at attention at the door to the White House, where the president and first lady and then the president-elect and first, I guess she was at that point, I don't know what you would call Melania at that point, but they were coming out. That was the door that we're talking about. And so there were these two young Marines, and they stood there for a really long time until what they were there to attend to actually happened. And I just thought to myself, there are two moms out there in America right now who are like, that's my kid. That is my kid. And they're so excited. And then later on, whoever that Marine was who had the honor of escorting Melania Trump down the steps, because there was this long period of time where they all walk down these steps, and he's walking her down those steps, and I'm thinking to myself, there goes one more mom in America. She's out of her chair. She's screaming at the television, that's my kid, that's my kid. So it is a day where I really do think there's just a lot to celebrate about being American. I've got a caller. Mark is on the line. Mark, it says you are in Washington, D.C., so I hope you are calling from the inauguration itself. What has your experience been in D.C. today?
Well, this is Mark Jumper, Carmen, and thank you very much for the tickets that you and Jessica arranged that I could be there with my friend. And getting to the area in front of the inauguration, we felt there was some serious spiritual warfare with the demonstrators and their name-calling of everything. Nazi and fascist and so forth. And so it's evident that there were some serious conflicts going on, especially on these people's point of view.
Wow. Well, first of all, Mark Jumper, it's great to hear your voice, and I'm so glad you had the opportunity to attend the inauguration, and you were there in my stead, and so, man, I appreciate that. And I hope you were taking it all in. Thank you for giving us this insight into what was happening, I assume, sort of like on the periphery of where you were walking. Was that your experience in terms of where these we'll call them protesters or demonstrators, were they mostly on the periphery of where you were trying to walk to get to the event?
Indeed they were, and they had blocked many of the approaches. For instance, our tickets told us to get off at the Judicial Square exit of the metro, and they had to close that due to the demonstrators, I think, and the backup. And so we had to get off at Gallery, and there were quite a few blocks due to the demonstrators. We had to go around them, through them. They the police finally had to push some of them back so that we could get through. The regular people just trying to get to the inauguration could get through them because they were intentionally blocking. And I talked to a couple of the policemen, and they said that, that the same thing was true all the way around the perimeter of the mall, that they had intentionally blocked many places.
That's so unfortunate. I know that one of the conversations that we got to have earlier today, and we'll be airing it in the second half of the hour, is a conversation with a pastor who's going to be praying tomorrow at the National Prayer Service at the National Cathedral. And he really emphasized that it was his sense that the president, the now president, then president-elect, but that President Trump and Vice President Pence, their real heart was that everything be centered around the concepts of unity and indeed like a wholeness, that we would be moving toward a restored sense of wholeness. So as you were there experiencing the inauguration in the midst of the crowd, what was going on immediately around you? Because I'm assuming that those who were actually attending the inauguration, there was a different spirit in that mix of people than the one you experienced from those blocking your way.
Yeah, it was a very calmly intense and satisfied spirit that people felt so good to see this happening and were very pleased with it. And there was no gloating, really. Now, when Hillary Clinton first showed up on the TV screen and when she appeared on the way, there was actually some cheering, and I think it was because she was in that place instead of coming in as president-elect. And later there was some laughter. At one point, they actually applauded. So, you know, I would say that it was somewhat subdued from the campaign trail, but people felt really delivered that she was not in the other place on the platform.
Hey, Mark, thank you so much for letting us know what your experience has been like. We really appreciate it. Safe travels home.
Thank you very much. Blessings to you, Carmen.
Thanks, Mark. All right, friends, we would love to hear reports from others if you attended in person and certainly if you participated in the way that most of us did. The overwhelming majority of Americans will have experienced the inauguration not firsthand, like Mark Jumper did, but we will have experienced it sitting at our desks or driving in our cars or in our living rooms, and we will have attended it in a very different way, and probably with conversation with others. I know that here locally where I live, there were restaurants that sort of gave themselves over to the inauguration for a couple of hours earlier in the day than even some of them are normally open, so that people would have places where they could congregate, where they'd have an opportunity to talk with each other. Maybe you experienced the inauguration in an environment like that. If so, I'd love to hear your feedback, positive or negative. I'd love to hear how you're feeling about this transition. It was indeed a peaceful transition, even though there were those who were seeking to have it be otherwise. And the number that you can text or call during this hour is 877-655-6755. There is kind of a funny website. I mean, it's funny. There's a website on Vox.com where they're actually surveying people's feelings all day today. Now, only millennials would do this. That's not railing against millennials, making an observation about them that they're totally obsessed with their own feelings. And so there's actually a place today where you can log on and you can chart your feelings at any given moment, how you're feeling about something. Hey, Brandon is calling us from the Christian Post. Brandon, tell us what you are experiencing, and thanks for calling the Reconnect.
Well, thank you, Carmen. It is kind of wild out here, I must say. I was walking back from the inauguration and came upon some rather ugly displays. There are protesters here in our streets screaming F-words, and I'm just reading all these signs out there. People are calling Donald Trump a terrorist. And then I got back to my newsroom, and we were advised to be very careful because another staff member came in and he showed us limousines that had their windows smashed in, broken windows, and there was a McDonald's right up their street where people had been throwing rocks and bricks through it. I'm actually standing a few feet away from a rally right here where Michael Moore is currently speaking, and it's kind of ugly, I must say.
Well, Brandon, first of all, thank you so much for your eyewitness view of things. I'm sorry for the experience that you and others are having. When you say that it is ugly, one of the things that I was noting is just in my opening commentary is from where I sat, right, in the safety and comfort of my desk in middle America, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And fortunately, C-SPAN and whoever has the feed, which is like the pool feed, that's right. What most of us were watching much of the time was the pool feed. And so it was very intensely focused on the pageantry and the beauty and right. So what you're experiencing is what's happening out there in the city right now. Give people a little bit of a sense of where your office is located in D.C., just some sense.
Well, I won't give you the exact address, but we're sort of here downtown, just a few blocks away from the White House. It's just near.
Yeah, that helps. Close, that helps. That gives people a reference point.
Yeah, it's just a few blocks away from the White House, so. A couple parks nearby, and it's wild.
So, Brandon, tell me just what you give me some of your feedback in terms of the inauguration itself. Was this the first time you have witnessed an inauguration? If so, what's your response? If not, you know, sort of compare to prior experience.
This is the first time that I'd actually been to an actual inauguration in person. It was very moving. I'd watched previous inaugurations, but it was quite awesome. And I must say, my experience there out on the lawn, I was doing some man on the street interviews, and there were people who did not like our new president, some who did, and some who just thought he was sort of so-so. But it was a very, very good environment on the mall, except for one fight where a woman tried to hold up her sign where she was saying, "Oh, it had a very derogatory well." A very gross message on it, and she was holding it up in front of onlookers, hoping to, you know, block their view. And there was a bit of a scuffle there, but other than that, it was a very, very moving experience. And I particularly enjoyed seeing Justice Thomas swear in our new vice president, and the whole thing. It was just great.
Brandon, thank you so much. Be safe. We look forward to what you post on the Christian Post. We'll keep an eye out for that. And again, thank you for calling into the Reconnect. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, the line is open. It's 877-655-6755. You don't have to be there in person. I mean, I appreciate that these guys are there in person and are calling us. I also know that sometimes it can be difficult to get a signal out when lots of people are trying to be online in a particular cell area. So you can always text us here at 877-655-6755 if you happen to be right down there on the mall. I know it's a little bit challenging to get a signal out right now. So one of the things that I wanted to make an observation about is that we as Americans have inaugurations. We don't have coronations. And the reason that I bring that up is, what happened today is that Donald Trump took an oath to be our president. He did not kneel and somebody from the church placed their hands upon him and made him our king. Under sort of God's provocation or God's identification through some kind of lineage. So we have a different system. And so even though what happened today included six different folks who were representing the clergy, both a rabbi and five different pastors. And even though it included the use of the Bible, and even though the Bible was referenced and God was referenced, this is a president taking an oath. This is not actually a coronation or an act of the church. And it's just important for us as Christians to recognize that, to recognize what is happening and what is not happening, and that although Christian symbols and Christian language is spoken and Christian prayers are prayed, that this is actually an event of the state. And sometimes I think it's helpful for us to be reminded of those distinctions. I was able to grab 5 minutes this morning with Pastor David Swanson. He is the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Orlando, Florida. And I'm hoping we've got time to quickly run the interview that I did with him. He is going to be speaking tomorrow at the National Prayer Service for the new president. Here's my conversation with David Swanson. So, David, I understand that you are traveling today, so thank you so much for creating this little window of time for us. Tell us how it happened that you are going to be one of the people who is praying tomorrow at the service in Washington with the new president.
Well, the Presidential Inauguration Committee is responsible for this prayer service, and the president-elect, were very interested in being widely ecumenical and multi-denominational, and it is interfaith. But they wanted a Presbyterian, and there was someone on the committee who knew somebody at First Pres in Orlando, and so they called me, and I received the invitation last Monday, and I agreed to do it. So I'm very honored to be invited and to be included.
So I know that you already know there will be all kinds of feedback related to who's participating and why they're participating and all those things. So just make it clear to people, why did you say yes? Why are you going to pray?
Well, yeah, there are two primary reasons. I think, you know, any Christian who is of right mind and right heart, if someone invites them to come pray for them, then you go. I think it's an act of obedience. I think our faith demands that we pray one for another, and especially in this situation where you have two men who are assuming such an enormous responsibility, they need our prayers. And then, you know, 1 Timothy 2:2 and other places in Scripture, we're commanded to pray for kings and authorities and leaders. And so, again, I think it's an act of obedience. And I think we are commanded to do that. And so I'm trying to do what I think God would want me to do in praying for our newly elected leaders. And again, I'm just honored to be included, and I look forward to being part of it.
Well, I know that your time is short and you're traveling, so if you could just leave us with a pastoral instruction in how we should be praying. So we're all going to be praying, but can you give us some instruction on how we should be praying today?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. The other thing that attracted me about this service was that the organizers were very intent on prayers for unity and wholeness. And that was coming from the president-elect and vice president-elect. They wanted it to be about that idea. And I think if there's anything that our country needs, it is that sense of the unity and oneness. And there is a great sense of polarization. And I think there's a great sense of uncertainty. But again, we are not those who ascribe to a political story as if governments and social systems are what provide us hope. Our hope is found in Christ, and our hope is found in the faith we have in God. And so I would pray and invite others to join me in praying that God would be the one who would orchestrate these events, who would be able to give great wisdom to our president and our vice president and other elected leaders, and that he would be the one to be moving and working and to give them what they need to lead our country. So I'm just praying for humility, and that I would approach it in a very humble and a very godly way that would be able to offer the words of Scripture and words of hope in what is a very divided time.
So let us pray for you before we let you go. Father, we thank you so much for calling David to this opportunity to be praying for the president and the president-elect and the incoming administration as they start their work. And so we pray for David that you would give him travel mercies today and that you would anoint him for the particular purpose for which you have called him to be praying. Give him the desire of his heart, which is that he would have humility and that he would be a godly representation of who you are to others, that he might indeed be a vessel of hope. David, thank you so much for being with us, and blessings on your travel and your participation in the service tomorrow.
Thanks so much, Carmen. Good to be with you.
All right, folks. So tomorrow there is going to be a national prayer service in the morning, but tonight the president and the new first lady will be attending a round of balls, and wonderful events, and you have the opportunity to see much of that. I do think that it's essential that we continue to be praying in very much the same way that David Swanson just encouraged us to be praying. And there's actually several resources that I could direct you to online. There's an op-ed posted today at the Washington Post by Russell Moore that's entitled, You Should Pray for Donald Trump No Matter How You Voted. And I think it's a helpful resource. Hey, when we come back, I know I've got people on hold, so thank you so much. We're going to be taking your... You're at 877-567-55. What was your experience of the inauguration today, and how are you feeling about it? This is The Reconnect. We'll be back.
Welcome back to The Reconnect with your host, Carmen LaBerge. Now, back to Carmen.
Hey, friends, welcome back. This is The Reconnect. Thanks for those of you who are on hold. I'll get to every single one of you. For those of you who want to call or text, the number is 877-655-6755. We are talking all things inauguration today. I've got a quick text here from somebody in Atlanta who says, I was not a Trump supporter, but thought he nailed the description of the problems in America that need to be fixed. He is right on the mark. Hey, Jeff in Arizona, thanks for calling The Reconnect. What is your experience or feedback on today's inauguration?
You know, Carmen, I thought it was really interesting watching all of the career politicians walk to the front, in front of the crowd, and how they were all smooth and polished and smiling and shaking hands. And, they felt like they belonged there. And then when Trump walked down the steps, you could see the different look in his eye that he's like, you know what, I'm here. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I'm here to get a job done. He was kind of fidgety. I never once heard him say I heard him say a lot of we's. It's the difference between someone who's, like I said before, a career politician, and someone who's a businessman who has a goal to get things done, and I'm pretty excited about that.
So, Jeff, we actually have heard your similar comment from others as well, that he actually looks like a person who's got a job to do, and he's going to get to that job and get after it. Somebody texted they appreciated how action-oriented and action-focused he seemed to be. Was there anything in particular that you heard that you thought to yourself, wow, that really catches my attention and that really inspires me?
I think how he talked about the plight of our youth and the drugs and the gangs and the violence that have really hurt the future Americans, and that is something that he made a very, very distinct point right at the onset of his speech, that's something that we all have a stake in and that we need to really focus on tomorrow's leaders, or we're in a lot of trouble. I thought that was great. It was just so different to watch him up there as opposed to the Obamas and the Bushes and the Clintons, because he just looks like he's ready to get to work.
All right, man. Hey, thanks, Jeff from Tucson. Thanks for calling us. Thanks for calling The Reconnect. We appreciate your input, and we thank you
thanks
for listening.
Thanks for what you do, Carmen.
Thanks, man. All right, friends, maybe you have got some feedback on the inauguration today. Maybe you experienced something differently than some of those who are calling. The number here is 877-655-6755. Pastor Philip in Bradenton, Florida, thanks for calling The Reconnect. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts, and I appreciate you letting me chime into the conversation, as I thought about it, is that there really is nobody who could actually be qualified for a position like President of the United States. It seems to be an impossibility, which is probably why so many people have been quoting from 1 Timothy chapter 2 about how we're supposed to pray for those that govern us, just like Paul was asking the church to pray for the emperor of the Roman Empire. Nobody's ready for a job like this. And so if we take on a position of prayer and of intercession, then we get to live the lives that we need to, of being the people who are troublemakers for grace and extending mercy, to the people in our culture who need it so desperately.
Yeah, absolutely. And I felt like we heard that in the references, in some of the references to scripture during the inauguration. I thought it was interesting that there were six different religious leaders who participated today. Normally there is one or a maximum of two who participate, and today there were six. And I know there was at least one direct reference to the passage in 1 Timothy, you know, that it does, it instructs and directs us to pray.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't give us really the option as to whether or not we want to do this. And so it's one of those universal calls that all Christians at all times and all places really should feel the weight and the responsibility and, in some sense, a real joy to do it, that we now get a chance to pray for another leader who might be captured by the wisdom of God so that we can live these lives of quiet grace. And so I'm with you. I found it very fascinating to watch the various religious leaders today and see what choices they made as to what they were going to say, what they were going to quote, and how they were going to pray.
Absolutely. Hey, Pastor Philip, thanks for calling today from Bradenton, and thanks for listening to us on the Reconnect.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for all you guys do.
Thanks. All right, folks, maybe you've got some feedback. Maybe you experienced the inauguration or things that were said or things that you observed differently than what we're hearing. Maybe you just want to echo something that somebody has already said. The number here you can text or call is 877-655-6755. One of the things that I'm always reminded of when we witness large events, actually probably true when we witness small events, but I think it's I'm aware of it more when there's a large event that has a lot of various commentators and people who are immediately reflecting upon what is being said and done, and even the movements of people and who's there and who's not there and how are they behaving and interacting and all of those things. And we all hear exactly the same words, and yet we do not all hear exactly the same message. There are some times that we just don't hear things the same way that other people hear things. So I actually want to have us listen together to something that the president said in his inaugural address today about the concept of solidarity.
The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity.
All right, what do you hear when you hear that? So he's making a direct reference to Scripture. You know, he's saying this is what the Bible tells us. I know that at least one person heard that as this call to solidarity, as if we are indeed one nation under God. And I know that we pledge allegiance to that, right? We pledge allegiance to this flag that stands over us, which Donald Trump definitely lifted up in his speech today, wanting to be sure that you love the flag. And I think that this question of God speaking to his people, this is a significant point to make here. Did you hear the new president speaking at that point in time to the Christians in the United States of America, or to the United States of America as if he understands it to be Christian? And do you see the difference between those two things? Because there is a difference. So if you are listening, as a Christian to the president saying, the Bible tells us, that as his people, this is what he wants, then you recognize that as a Christian, the Bible is certainly God's word to us. Not everybody embraces the Bible as the word of God, and not everybody in America is a Christian. And there's a pretty wide open conversation and difference of opinion about whether or not the United States of America is currently a Christian nation. And some who would say, well, it never was. So this is not a question that I'm the only person asking, by the way. We have talked before with the folks over at Oh, it's PRRI. I might have to have a reminder from somebody here as to exactly what PRRI stands for. But they do the American Values Survey, and we've talked with Robert Jones from there before. It's the Public Religion Research Institute. Thank you. And they have recently surveyed sort of this shifting opinion, shifting understanding of whether or not Americans perceive America to be a Christian nation, whether it ever was. And if it was, is it still? And if so, is that sort of on the rise or on the decline? And I don't think that it will be a surprise to you that as they look at this question over time. So let's look at the shift from nearly the beginning of the Obama administration to just a couple of years ago. So the shift in this question, the shift of the view in America on the question of is this a Christian nation from 2010 to 2015, pretty sharp decline in terms of people saying that America has always been and still is a Christian nation. And a rise in terms of percentage of those who would say that the country was a Christian nation but is so no longer. And the two groups in particular that have like the most distinct or sharpest change of opinion on this issue are white mainline Protestants and Catholics. So and why do I bring this up? Well, because when you start including language like the Bible tells us, and then the reference that you use is in relationship to what God tells us in the Bible about his people. If you mean by that when you say it, everyone in the United States of America, then you are saying something different than what the Bible is saying when the Bible uses the terminology of God and his people. And so I just think that we have to listen with ears that hear. You will remember that Jesus actually used that phrase on a handful of occasions, right? He would say, let those who have ears hear. Now, normally when he was teaching and he used that phrase, it's because he was talking in a way or about a subject matter that he knew people could hear sort of at multiple layers. There's the layer of hearing it where you are just hearing it on the surface, and there's a way of hearing it at a spiritual level of discernment that's very, very different. And so when you and I as Christians are listening to anyone talk about anything, we need to be people who have ears that hear. We need to be people who have ears that hear what they are saying and what they are saying between the lines of what they are saying and maybe what they are saying underneath what they are saying. And so that would be my encouragement to you. Actually, go back and listen. It's not a very long inaugural address. Go back and listen to it again with ears that hear. Go back and listen to it again with ears that hear. In addition to this one place where Donald Trump made direct reference to the Bible, there was another place in his speech today that I thought was significant in terms of what he said about God's active participation in America today. So this is I want you to listen to this and we'll talk about it.
There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God.
All right, folks. There are a couple of things going on in that very, very short clip that I don't want you to miss. First of all, I absolutely want to positively affirm that we should, as Christians, not be people of fear. That, absolutely, I want to affirm that. Okay? So God does not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but he gives us a spirit of power and right thinking. He actually gives us the mind of Christ. And so if you have the mind of Christ in the matters of the day and you have the spirit of Christ operating within you, you have nothing to fear, right? Even though all of the realities of life that press in on everyone will press in on you, and sometimes more acutely so because you are a Christian, right? We should expect persecution. We should expect people to not like us. However, my guess is that if we live as Christ would be living in the midst of them, we have to respect us. So there you go. So this is not a disagreement with the presentation of the call to be people who do not fear. This is me raising a slight, excuse me, sir, question about the promise, our ability to promise people the kind of protection that law enforcement gives us and extend to that, extend upon that or over that, the promise of God's protection of us as a nation. So I my concern there is that the incoming president is saying something. He's laying claim to something that I'm not sure any human being is in a position to promise. So I just want you to have discerning ears when you listen. And I want you to also be a person who knows what God has said about his own commitment to certain principles and to ways of operating and behaving. God has a character. God has a will. God is who he is, and he's going to do what he is going to do. And I'm not saying that we don't need to be constantly before the throne of God pleading on behalf of things that concern us. Certainly, Scripture invites us to make the desires of our hearts known to God. But the reality is, if we are mature in our faith and the desires of our hearts are actually his heart's desire already. So we are never actually before the throne of God as mature Christians praying anything that's out of the will of God. So you're never trying to convince him of something. You're never trying to change his mind. That actually works the other way around. The changing of the mind, the changing of the opinion, the changing of the heart happens the other way, by allowing the Spirit of the living God to influence me, the way I see things, the way I think about things, the way what I want. So when I am making the desires of my heart known to God in a time of prayer, when I'm pleading for something, Jesus Christ is the one, the mediator, who is making an appeal on my behalf, and the Holy Spirit is the one who is aligning that prayer with the very will of God. So I know that's that may be a more deeply theological conversation than you thought you wanted to get into. You just wanted to sort of have a feelings conversation about the inauguration today. But we're people who feel and think, right? We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, absolutely, and all of our mind, and all of our strength. So not just how we're feeling about things. We want to have the right affect. We want to respond appropriately. But we want to be thinking about what we're thinking about. And we want to be coming into the conversation of the day, which is the inauguration of the new president of the United States. We want to be coming into that conversation with our minds full of the scriptures. And we want to be entering into the conversations in a way that honor Jesus. And that means that we're honest to what scripture says. And yes, God does promise a hedge of protection around his people. But that is not to say that he does not always protect us in this temporal life in the way that we think about protection. I expect law enforcement to protect me, frankly, in a somewhat different way than I expect God to protect me. And so to align those two things as if they're going to be exactly the same, I think is troublesome. Hey, we've got Hugh Hewitt on the line from, well, you're probably not in Irvine. You're probably in Washington, D.C. So, hey, Hugh, thank you so much for calling in. Yeah, hey, you are right there. Let us know what your experience of the inauguration has been today. And, folks, you recognize Hugh Hewitt. He has a very craftily named radio show called The Hugh Hewitt Show. He is also an author and a commentator. So, Hugh, give us your perspective on what's happening today in D.C.
Well, it's a very wonderful day to see the civic pageant unfold again. I mean, 1984 was my first one. Reagan. And it's always the same. It's always different. It's always the same in that very reassuring that you go to tea with the former president, now former President Obama, was President Obama when he received President Trump, who Citizen Trump, and it rolls out from there along the order that we all know. Short, I like short speeches. I've been at NBC covering with NBC people, and it was a little bit grimmer than I would have wanted. I would have liked a little more joy. But it was very consistent with President Trump's themes throughout the year. And then I thought the luncheon speech was very gracious by President Trump when he stood up and saluted former president and former Secretary of State Clinton and encouraged the audience them a long and prolonged standing ovation. So that's kind of good. Would have been a useful piece of the 16-minute speech. So all told, another great inaugural day, and the parade is just getting underway. It's a wet and rainy day, but it isn't like it was in 1984 when it was so freaking cold and everyone had to go outside.
Well, we have been hearing from folks who are there, and a lot of the folks who have had the experience of walking through the demonstrators, through the protesters, to make their way to the inauguration. I'll just tell you, it sounds like the experience for them was a little bit harrowing, and so the juxtaposition of the beauty of the pageantry of the day and the majesty of what is happening and the peaceful transition of power juxtaposed with what's happening a few blocks away and the very ugly behavior of some Americans who aren't happy about today is kind of a sad commentary on the divisions that exist in the country.
Yes, unfortunately, tomorrow I expect 200,000
President Trump. It sounds like we have lost. Lost Hugh. If we get him back, I'll bring him right back on. It's always good to hear from our friends in the Salem media family when they are attending something live that we are not there live. It's always great to have them on and get their perspective on what's happening. You heard him talk about the beauty of what is happening, and we'll just pick up there with where you were, Hugh, in the statement that you were making. Well, he may not be quite back. All right. So we're going to just continue our conversation when we have Hugh back on the line, and he hopefully will get a better connection. I've told you guys that part of the challenge that people are having in D.C. right now is getting a strong signal. Even the cell phone is a good example of that. If you are in an environment where there are lots of other people using the same cell tower, it can be a little overwhelming with everybody that does Facebook Live and all kinds of other things. You can always text me. That's a super effective way to get your message out in front of everybody. The number is 877-655-6755. I'd love to hear what you're feeling and thinking and what your response is to the inauguration. We've got a few minutes left in this hour, but you know that whatever you send me, I will be attentive to as we move into the weekend. We're certainly going to still be talking about the new administration. We got the first 100 days, so we'll be talking about it for a long period of time. I can't imagine that from the Christian worldview, there won't be something to talk about every day. And so we look forward to having those conversations with you throughout the newness of this administration. Hey, I've got a survey for you at the website if you want to go to reconnectwithcarmen.com and check out our survey we have for you there. Thank you to those of you who have already participated in the survey. One of the questions on the survey is, what do you see as the greatest challenges for Christians seeking to bring God's perspective into conversations today? And so you all have answered things like this. Our culture demands tolerance but refuses to listen to a stance not their own, i.e. a Christian response. Liberals are advocating tolerance, but they are usually the most intolerant. Christians have not always given a reason for our beliefs with gentleness and respect, and so our great challenge is to truly engage in the battle by prayer, earnestness, and belief. So I totally agree with that, absolutely. Another respondent says, for me, it's always been a reticence to open a conversation with those I am in contact with, those in my church and even in my Bible study. I have no problem discussing God's perspective when the conversation leads to an appropriate response. One person puts it right out there, and I think this hits the nail on the head for all of us. You know, the greatest challenge for us is seeking to bring God's perspective into conversations is that we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. I think you're right. Christians don't have friends who are unbelievers. That's also true. Or at least we don't have friends we are not interacting with. We don't have close associations with people whose lives we know well enough to know whether or not they are Christians. So that's certainly true. This is speaks to the silo challenge of only isolating ourselves in groups where we already find agreement and fellowship. We do have a fear of rejection, another respondent says, isolation. We fear ridicule. We fear criticism. We lack courage. And then there is this, learning how to engage in a secular environment that expects everybody to be politically correct. Jesus is certainly not politically correct. All right, friends, in this day of politics, thank you for joining me here on The Reconnect. I look forward to continuing this interaction over the weekend. You can communicate with me on Facebook or on Twitter. I'm at Carmen LaBurge. Go to the website, reconnectwithcarmen.com. Let us know what you're thinking. Have a great weekend, and God bless.
The Reconnect is brought to you by the Presbyterian Lay Committee. To continue the conversation and become part of the Reconnect community, visit reconnectwithcarmen.com.